Brochim Abaim. I'm David Aaron, and I'm connected. I'm on a short cord. Let's talk about getting Torah. Really, really getting Torah. So I heard a really cute joke from a stand-up comedian. He said, after reading a tremendous amount about the dangers of drinking liquor and smoking cigarettes, it became clear to me that I immediately must stop reading. And I think when a person picks up the Torah, they stop reading because they start seeing there's a lot of rules, a lot of restrictions. And so why are we happy about that? Why would anybody be happy about getting a book of rules and regulations and restrictions? So I want to share with you a piece from the Gemara of Moshe Rabbeinu getting the Torah. By the way, how many of you are first-timers? Okay. The Gemara goes like this, and I'm going to enhance it a little bit, if you don't mind. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim, and the angels are shocked to see him up there. Who is this old man with a stutter? And the angels say to Hashem, what's this human being doing up here amongst us? And Hashem says, oh no, he's not staying. He just came to get the Torah and he'll be leaving soon. Well, that didn't calm them at all. That actually made them even more upset. What? You're going to give them that treasure that you've been holding on for generations? You're going to give it to them? You're going to give them the Torah? So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, we have a problem. The angels don't want me to give you the Torah. You're going to have to present your case why you and the Jewish people are worthy of getting the Torah. What are your credentials? Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what? If they just breathe on me, I'm out of here. I don't even match up to their breath. Hevel. Right? I'm Hevel. So Hashem says, okay, I'm going to help you a little bit. Hold on to my holy throne, but then you're on your own. So the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu holds onto the Kisei Kavod and he's enveloped by like this energy field, gives him some chizuk. Huh? I got it in there. Okay, gives him some chizuk. And now he begins to offer the case. He says to Hashem, Hashem, what is in the Torah? Hashem says, I am your God who took you out of Egypt. Moshe turns to the angels and says, angels, were you in Egypt? Were you tortured for that long? Were you slaves? Angels say, no, we're angels. We're from Los Angeles. We're from La La Land. I mean, no, we haven't. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu proudly says, well, we did. Angels are pretty taken aback by that. Said, Hashem, what else is in your Torah? Hashem says, you shall have no other gods. So this, you need a little bit of background. Most people think that idolatry are a bunch of people bowing down to idols and trees and the sun. And no, idolatry was the deification of nature. And idolatry was filled with promiscuity, was holy orgies and prostitutions. And the Gemara says that any Jew that embraced idolatry only did it as a license for the Yetzer Hara. Nobody philosophically thought that it held any water. So you have to understand, idolatry was extremely attractive and seductive and provocative. And so when Moshe says to the angels, angels, are you in a society that is struggling with and provoking you with this kind of stuff, idolatry? And they say, no, we're angels. He says proudly, well, we do. Okay, well, what else is in your Torah? Honor your mother and your father. Moshe says to the angels, angels, do you go to therapy? No, that was my additional, the two mothers that are bragging about their son. One says, my son, he loves me so much. He bought a ticket for me to travel the whole world for an entire year. He's giving up on me for an entire year that I should travel the world. The other says, huh, you call that love? My son, every day he meets somebody, talks about me for an hour, pays $200. That's his money, he loves me. So he says to Hashem, he says to the angels, do you have parents? They say, no, we're angels. Moshe Rabbeinu says, well, what else is in there? Shabbos, do you work? Do you need Shabbos? No. And he goes through the Ten Commandments and points out that they are completely irrelevant to them. And then his final punchline of the case is, angels, do you have jealousy amongst you? And they say, no, we're angels. Now, this seems strange because it seems that they are jealous of the Jewish people getting the Torah, but they're not, because the angels say to Hashem, they're going to desecrate your name. They're not able to keep this Torah. And so Moshe Rabbeinu says, do you have jealousy? And they say, no, we're not. We're totally Lashem Shemayim in what we're presenting here. And then he says, angels, do you have a Yetzer Hara? And they say, no, we don't. And Moshe says, well, we do. And the angel says, wow. Okay, Hashem, give them the Torah. They were so impressed with Moshe and the Jewish people, it says that they gave us a secret that we could use in a time of possible elimination of the Jewish people. They wanted a share in the Jewish people, Inc. What is this story about? It makes no sense, this story. What really makes no sense is the angels don't want the Jewish people to get a Torah that they have nothing, no clue what's in it. And his basic case is he gives them the Ten Commandments. And their initial concern is that the Jewish people are not capable of keeping the Torah. And Moses just gave them every reason that we're not. We're traumatized, right? We have tremendous, you know, repressed memories of thousands of years of, I mean, and we've got a Yetzer Hara. So what is this story all about? Doesn't make any sense. But our sages teach us in this story something very deep about what is Torah, who are we, and why did Hashem give us the Torah? And I think this is going to be a game changer if you listen carefully. I think, you know, whenever you're learning something, you want to try and do it as quick as you can. So you want to ask yourself, what is the most important question I could ask to break this open? And I think the whole thing revolves around angels. If we could understand what an angel is, then maybe the rest of the story would unravel. So what is an angel? Now, most people think they know what an angel is, especially if you're living in the United States during Christmas time. They've got these posters with these two guys with wings, you know, looking at each other, waving at each other. They're angels, okay? They're angels. No, an angel is an agent, okay? They're an agent. What is an agent? What's called a shaliach. It has a halachic status. You can appoint somebody to be your agent, which means you're giving them the power of attorney to represent you. They are now halakhically you. What? No, they don't just promote you. What they do is they act on your behalf. I'll give you an example. Let's say I'm not married, Baruch Hashem, I am, and I've been desperately looking for my shidduch. And I find that there's a wonderful woman that lives in the North Pole. Her name is Sprinza. What's she doing over there? And she's in the North Pole. I want to get married to her, but I'm not going to get to the North Pole too quickly. So I need to get a shaliach, okay? I can appoint somebody who's in the North Pole, give them the power of attorney to represent me, and this person can come to Sprinza and say, Hari at mikudeshet le David Aaron b'Yushalayim. Okay, you better not touch her. But Hari at mikudeshet, and she is literally my bride. Okay, the question is, where am I going to find a yid in the North Pole? But there's a Chabad house, right? In fact, it's really a Chabad igloo. Okay, and so a agent represents you, right?
Don't you have to see the
I saw her on Facebook. It's just a metaphor. Let's not get into the details of it right now. In the meantime, it's just a metaphor. Let's go on. Okay. The idea basically is that why does Moshe Rabbeinu go to the angelic realm to get the Torah? And here's the most important thing to understand. Because the Torah is a mission. Okay, it's not a bunch of commandments, it's assignments. I think the translation of commandment is not doing the word mitzvah justice. It's an assignment. A mitzvah means that Hashem is counting on you, giving you the power of attorney on his behalf to do this mitzvah. Okay? To do this mitzvah, shekidshanu b'mitzvotav, you made us holy through your mitzvahs. These are mitzvahs that Hashem wants to keep. Okay? Why would he want to keep those mitzvahs? I'll explain in a second. Right? These are mitzvahs that Hashem wants to keep. But he can't keep them. Why can't he keep them? Because you know what it takes to keep a mitzvah? A yetzer hara. Because without a yetzer hara, you don't have free choice. And that's what Hashem wants. That's what Hashem wants. Is there something we can do that Hashem can't do, or to be more specific, that Hashem is going to do through us? How do we become Asher Kiddishanu b'mitzvotav? You made us like yourself, Kadosh, because a shliach is like the sholeach. And you become holy when you accept the assignment that I am keeping Shabbos on behalf of Hashem. That's what it means, l'shem shemayim. Are you doing your mitzvahs? Are you learning Torah l'shem shemayim for the sake of heaven? What do you mean for the sake of heaven? You're doing this for Hashem. Now, why do you appoint a shliach? Because there's something you can't do. Is there something Hashem can't do that wants us to do? This is going to be an amazing thought. You know, we are all taught as children that Hashem is absolutely good. We all know that Hashem is absolutely good. The question is, what are the parameters of absolute goodness? Let's take two guys, Ben and Jerry, just for the sake of making it easy. Ben is good, was good, always will be good, cannot but be good. Is Ben a good guy? Yeah, but he's a kind of an obsessively compulsive good guy. He's kind. Yes, he's kind. But then you got Jerry. Jerry's got a yetzer hara that challenges him in his goodness. Now imagine they both pick up the Torah and they see that there's a mitzvah hachnasas orchim. There's a mitzvah of being hospitable. Now Ben, who is kind, was kind, always will be kind, cannot but be kind, has been doing this since he was born. Is he demonstrating hospitality? Yeah, but kind of like a robot. He's a kind of robot. Jerry, on the other hand, who's challenged with that, struggles with that, when he chooses to do hospitality, is his kindness the same as Ben's? Or do you intuit that there's a richer kind of kindness there when you choose to do what you don't feel like doing? But you do it anyways because it's right and it's good. I think we all intuit that although we are impressed with Ben, but Ben's kind of a kind robot, whereby Jerry, by virtue of the choice, he's choosing to do kindness. Let's go back to Hashem. Hashem is the epitome of all greatness. Hashem is the epitome of all good. Is Hashem missing the possibility of making manifest a goodness born of choice? You know what? He's not, because he's got you. And welcome to a new sense of self. That's how important you are. I think one of the greatest problems in the world today is people don't feel good about themselves. Don't feel they're matter. Rav Twersky, Zichron Rav Racha, said in his experience as a psychiatrist, the number one reason for psychological disorders, other than a chemical problem, they're all rooted in low self-esteem. We don't feel good about ourselves. And yet Yiddishkeit is giving us the most incredible ticket to incredible self-worth, a worth that is equal to Hashem's worth. He's making you kadosh. Kadoshim to you, keni kadosh. You will be kadosh because I'm kadosh. And I'm going to ask you to be my evid, to be my shliach, to work on my behalf. Do you hear this idea? That's an amazing idea. It's an amazing idea because what it just did is it made your yetzer hara not a problem, but an opportunity. Having that yetzer hara is exactly getting you to choose to do the mitzvah. And if you have a big yetzer hara in something particular, that's your mission. You want to know what you came to this world to do? Just ask your yetzer hara. Your yetzer hara, you have a yetzer hara for a lashon hara? There it is. That's a big mission right there. You have a yetzer hara for who knows what? There you go. But the Gemara says that every mitzvah comes with a yetzer hara. Every mitzvah comes with a yetzer hara. Why would it come with a yetzer hara? Because you can't do a mitzvah without a yetzer hara. Right? So your yetzer hara is actually an asset. It's not really your enemy. It's kind of your sparring partner. It's actually adversity that is setting you up for greatness. Hashem is the epitome of all greatness. Is Hashem missing the greatness that is manifest through making brave choices, courageous choices? I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a guy and he did something incredibly brave in the army. His entire platoon was under attack. He ran into the middle of the field and he saved everybody. So we would give him what's called an Ot Kavod. An Ot Kavod is an honorary award. Okay? Right before the dinner where we're honoring him, we're going to give him this award of honor, he says, look, I want to tell you something. First of all, I know I don't look it, but I'm actually made of steel. So if a bullet would have hit me, it would have bounced off anyways. In addition to that, I am completely psychic. I know the future, I'm 100%, so I knew that a bullet wouldn't even hit me. Does this guy deserve an Ot Kavod? You know, they say no guts, no glory. Did he demonstrate guts? We give Hashem tremendous glory. Does Hashem have guts? Right? Does Hashem have guts? You're the guts. We're the kavod. When the angels say, I am mekom kavodo, where is Hashem's kavod? We're Hashem's kavod. When you choose to do the mitzvah, l'shem shemayim, when you step up to the plate and realize, I'm an agent for God. Angels are agents. And it says that Hashem didn't give the Torah to the angels. Why would we think he would give the Torah to the angels? Because we are your agents. And we knew there was some mission that you've been holding on for all these years, and we're wondering which one of us is going to get this mission. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, on behalf of the Jewish people, goes up and he accepts this mission on behalf of the Jewish people. And they say, who is this guy? And he starts saying, well, we're traumatized, we're challenged, we have issues, we struggle, we have yetzaharas, we're jealous of each other. And they go, now we get it. You guys are so great because you're not so great. And that's what's so great about you, is you can choose to be great. Can Hashem choose to be great? Yes, through you. You know, I was watching the celebration of Yom HaTzmaut where they do the lighting of the torches. And they honor various people. And I look at some of these people and I go, wow, what courage, what bravery. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's what's so amazing. Is Hashem missing that? No, because he's got you. You're a chelek elokam mimal. You're a, so to speak, a part of God. What part of God are you? What part of goodness are you? You're the part of goodness that can choose good. You're the part of love that can choose love. And you hear the stories of brave soldiers, people. You know, people thought, how will we work a war? Now you've got people that are hanging out in Dizengoff at the bars. Who would ever think that these people would have the bravery and the courage? They don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's interesting. We praise Hashem, but when you think about it, Hashem is all-knowing. Hashem is omnipotent. He snaps his finger. He creates the world. What's so great about that? If I were omnipotent and all-knowing and all-powerful? No. Is Hashem missing that greatness? No. That's why he gave birth to us into this world. That's what's so special about this world, that it's an obstacle course. You know, people think this is an amusement park and we came here to have fun. No. We came here to have a good time. No. This is a gym and we came out to work out and we came out to build character. And I heard this one comedian say, I wanted to get in shape and I joined the gym, but they kept asking me to lift up heavy things. So I stopped. We came here to lift up heavy things. Right? And that's a tremendous challenge, to lift up heavy things. You know, when a person like the husband of Tsa'ala that was murdered this week, a woman that was on her way to give birth, 6 years she was trying to get pregnant. This woman saw 30 clients a week, helping them with trauma. And she is horrifyingly murdered. And her husband gets up and says words of emunah. Can Hashem do that? That's greatness. To have emunah in such doubt and such challenge and so much pain and still get up. You know, a number of years ago, I met this fellow, and he told me when he was a kid, he wasn't from a religious home when he was a kid, his father died, there was like 9 children in the family, he was the oldest, and they told him he should say Kaddish. So he wanted to do something for his father's, you know, for his father's memory, to help his father. So he's saying Kaddish, but in those days they weren't Hebrew. Now, they weren't English Sidurim. And so after 3 months of saying Kaddish, he went to the rabbi and said, you know, I don't really understand what I'm saying. But, you know, it would help. Could you translate this for me? So the rabbi starts translating the Kaddish, and the boy gets really angry. What? I'm praising God? I don't want to praise God. I thought this was some prayer from my father. I'm saying God is great? And he stops. Stops saying Kaddish. So he asked me, why should a boy that is mourning the death of his father, who's so angry at God and doesn't even know if he even believes in God anymore, why should he get up and say Kaddish? Makes sense. Why not say Kaddish after the birth of a child? That's a great time to say Hashem is great, Hashem is holy. Because if you, with the challenge that you're going through, with every reason to want to give up, you get up? Wow, that's great. Hashem is the epitome of greatness. And when you hear these stories of these brave soldiers and stories of brave people that have had to face sickness, face poverty, face marital issues, and they get through it, and they have a breakthrough it. Isn't that a greatness? Is Hashem missing that greatness? No, he's got you. And that's what we say every morning. We wake up, Moda ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayem shechazarti bi nishmati b'chemra. Rabba munatecha, great is your faith. Wouldn't it make more sense I wake up in the morning and say, great is my faith? No, because what's going to get me out of bed and face a world that is so challenging and for some of us so incredibly painful? Hashem believes in me. You know what it means to believe in somebody? It means I see in you greatness. I know it's there. You can unleash that greatness. I know it's there. There's a greatness every single day. The Arizal could see on your forehead a pasuk every day. There's a different pasuk on your forehead. I can see them, but Barry's not paying me enough to reveal this. And the Arizal would teach you the secret of half the pasuk. You had to figure out the other half. Because every day is a pasuk. You came to this world to live another pasuk. And the unique challenges of this day or the unique challenges set up the stage for you to make the choice to live that pasuk. That's what we're here to do. It's a mission. Chizuk mission is not just something you come to in Israel. It's your life. Your life is a mission. You are an agent. Hashem is counting on each and every one of us to not give up, to courageously get up. And the advantage that we have is we can take risks. Because if you don't take a risk, what's great about people is they took a risk. Can Hashem take a risk? He knows everything. And he's always right. And he always gets it right. Can he take a risk? He did. We are the risk factor. You might even make a case, you know, when somebody says, my spouse is my better half, I think Hashem would say about us, we're his better half. That's how important we are to Hashem. That's how meaningful we are, Hashem. This is an amazing idea. If Hashem wants to make manifest a goodness born of choice, he needs you. Now, how can I describe a God that needs me? Well, you know what? Hashem doesn't need to need you because he's almighty. But something even better, he chooses to need you. You know, there's two kinds of love. There's mature love and immature love. Immature love, the love of a child, is they love their parents because they need their parents. I love you because I need you. Mature love, is hopefully the love between a husband and wife, is I need you because I love you. I choose to need you. When you were dating and you met a guy that was needy, you're not interested in that guy. You say to your friend, I met this guy, he's really needy. I'm not interested in this guy. Oh, so you want a guy that doesn't need you? Oh, no, I want a guy that needs me. I just don't want a guy that's needy. Well, could you make up your mind? Yeah. I want a guy that needs me, but he's not needy. No, you want a guy that chooses to need you. He doesn't need to need you. He chooses to need you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need to need you. It's an act of love. He chooses to need you. And this is an amazing thing. If our kids would know how amazingly important they are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Yeshua means. We ask Hashem for Yeshua. Yeshua means save me from being insignificant. Not just save my physical life. Save my spiritual life. That I should feel that I matter. And we're in a world where it's so easy to feel like you don't matter. You just don't matter. To Kadosh Baruch Hu, every single one of us matters. And the way your life was orchestrated and the unique challenges that you were given and the kind of yetzer that you have, it's all there for you to make the choice. And that's what we came to this world to do, to make choices, not excuses. And make that choice on behalf of Hashem. And He's on your side. He will always be on your side because you're a side of Him. You're His best side. He's your better half. So this is what I wanted to share. Moshe Rabbeinu goes to the angelic realm to get the Torah because the Torah is really a mission. And the angels are agents, and the human being, when they accept a life of mitzvah, are becoming agents for Hashem. And the mitzvah is more than a commandment. It's an assignment that Hashem is asking you to do on His behalf. Because living a Torah life is the most ideal way to live life. And Hashem wants to participate in that. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu saw the knot, the back knot of Hashem's tefillin. And in Hashem's tefillin, it says, Mi chamoch Am Yisrael, who is like you, Am Yisrael. Hashem is praising us. Who is like you? Hashem's putting on tefillin. He has tefillin. But there's something He can't do. He can't choose to put on tefillin. He doesn't have a problem of waking up in the morning. I got a yeshiva with 18-year-old guys, getting them out of bed, go daven, kriyat shema soon, put on your tefillin. When you choose to put on tefillin, that's a whole other level. Hashem wants to make manifest mitzvahs in a way of the greatness through choice. That's what we're doing here. That's what this is about. And when you bless your children, you say, Yesa Hashem pana v'lecha v'yichuneka. May Hashem lift up His face to you. Yisem lecha shalom. And give you peace. What kind of peace? The inner peace that I matter because Hashem's looking up to me. Yesa Hashem pana v'lecha. May Hashem look up to me. Why would Hashem look up to me? Right? These soldiers, these people struggling with illness, these people struggling with their children, whatever the struggle is, Hashem's looking up and saying, thank you. Thank you for taking this mission. Thank you for agreeing to be my agent. Thank you for being a human angel. Thank you for your courage to keep going and to make those courageous choices. You are bringing cover to Hashem. Because honor is when you have guts. And you bring the glory to Hashem. Because no guts, no glory. So I bless you all that you have that yeshiva dat, that clarity of mind, that whatever challenges you're going through, whatever pain you're suffering or struggling with, know that there's enormous meaning in that. And Hashem is seeking to channel His presence in the world through each and every one of us. And that's His present and gift to us. And that I call Torah, really getting it. And that's what I wanted to share. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, we have time for questions. I wanted that.
I have a question.
Yes, what's your name? Yes, honey.
We're going to Shulis now, and the mazel of Shulis is Tumim.
Yes.
Yes.
Twins.
Twins. Twins is to be a very important Hashem.
That's right, exactly. Do you understand? We just had a great chiddush here, important idea that Gemini are twins, and Shavuos is connected to that because we are kibyuchol, the twin of Hashem. We're creating the image of Hashem. Okay, great. I'm glad you shared that, honey. Any more questions or comments? Yeah.
I like you said we have the power of attorney, but when you said it, I typed it in and it came out power of eternity. So
I oh, the power of eternity. Wow, thank God for divine mistakes. Very good. Thanks for sharing that. We got more chidushim. Yeah, what's your name?
Siva.
Siva, yeah. The imperfect that can choose to become perfect.
Right.
Yeah.
So my question is, if this is something that he doesn't have, he only has it through us, then when we're looking towards Mashiach.
But he does have, because we're part of him, so we always had it.
Right. But when Mashiach comes, we're not going to have the age of her. So why are we looking towards that?
No. We'll always be able to grow. Okay? But we'll be able, right now, we're struggling between choosing good over evil. We'll later be struggling between good and better. Okay? You can always do it better.
So you're saying that even if we don't have the Yetzer Hara, we can still choose to do better.
Look, there's something dynamic about Olam Haba. The word Olam Haba literally means the world that's coming. It never comes. It's always coming. Okay? We're looking forward to the ability to continue to be looking forward. You know, it's like in a marriage, Mirtz Hashem. You don't want to be in a situation where you wake up one morning, you look at your husband, you say, you know, honey, I love you, you love me, now what? Right? Now what do we do? We should argue or something. Now this is really boring. No, no, you can always love your spouse more and more and more. It's Ein Sof. You are literally connecting to the Ein Sof, and this journey is an Ein Sof journey of ascending and becoming greater and greater and greater. No, you don't want to be perfect. No, you're not that side of God. Hashem is a perfection that includes being perfect and becoming perfect. We're the embodiment of the becoming perfect. That's called the Shekhinah. It says that in the future, can we? It says in the future, the tzaddikim, which are all of you, for sure. I'm trying, but I'm not on a chizuk mission. And they'll be sitting there, nanning meziva shechina, and they'll be enjoying the radiance of the shechina. I first read that, I thought they'll be sitting there, and the radiance of the shechina will be, you know, raining down on them. But then I thought about it. No, they're nanning the radiance of the shechina that's emanating from them, because the presence of Hashem is so there. Because you literally became an agent for Hashem. You lived your life as a channel for Hashem in the world. And so all these problems, you know, a person, chas v'shalom, you know, most of the time people think if something bad is happening to them, I must be punished. No, maybe you're chosen. Maybe you're chosen. Nobody wants to be chosen. Nobody wants to be chosen. But I'll tell you a story. I once told you the story. There was a woman that applied to Israelite, and in the interview, she was just an amazing person. I'd never seen anybody just so, something was so incredibly special about her. And I said, you know, I don't know what it is, but you're an exceptionally special person.
You can't tell stories about me again.
Okay. No, that was the next story I was going to give. Okay. And so she said, oh, I can explain that, Rabbi. And so she lifts up her sleeve and she shows me scars. Then she lifts up her other sleeve and she shows me scars. She says, Rabbi, I have scars all over my body. 5 years ago, I was in a car accident. The car exploded, and I was in rehabilitation for a year. And I had to relearn how to walk, how to eat, how to breathe. So that's why I'm so radiant, because I had to put in that work. I didn't walk away saying, I hope I have a car accident. Right? But as Rabbi Twersky once pointed out in a fabulous shiur that he gives, you should listen to the shiur. It's called The Jewish Response to Suffering. He explains, he asks the audience, how many people have grown significantly from pleasurable experiences? Very few people say, yeah. But he said, how many of you have grown from painful experiences? And many people over here said, look, I don't know, but we seem to grow from pain. So we're not looking for it, but it's looking for us. And it finds us. The question is, what do we do with it? Do we let it get us down? Or does it let us lift us up? Right, because we're human. That's okay. Hashem gives you license to honor your human feelings. I love when people ask me that question, because that is a sign that you think I'm Mashiach. No, my wife makes sure that I know that. So I do the dishes. She says, you're not Mashiach. I say, Mashiach's not going to do dishes. She says, I told you, you're not Mashiach. I said, okay. So I'll do Shviras HaKelim.
Right,
right. You know what? You're going to have to invite Hashem to give a class next time for a class. In the meantime, this is the way Hashem set it up. And what you need to understand, and this is hard for people to understand, Hashem is going through the pain with us. So when we think Hashem is doing this to us, so there's a lot of resentment. But when we understand that Hashem is doing it to us, him and us, because I've shared this before, if my finger had a sliver in it and I start pulling it out with a needle, and if my finger were to say, why are you doing this to me? I would say to my finger, what do you mean, why am I doing this to you? You're a part of me, right? I'm going through this with you. From Hashem's point of view, there's just Hashem. You know, think of a circle with a dot in the middle, and you're the dot. From your point of view, there's me and the circle. From the circle's point of view, there's just a circle. The dot is included in the circle. So a lot of the complaints we have towards Hashem is coming from our very limited perspective, thinking that there's me and Hashem and we're separate. But from Hashem's point of view, we're not separate. You're a part of me. And I'm literally feeling this. And when a person asks, where was Hashem in the Holocaust? Where's Hashem when Jews were gasping for air in the concentration camp in the gas chamber? Right there in the gas chamber, right? Because Hashem is with us. Because we are literally chelek elokam imal, you know? And that's a pasuk in Deuteronomy, in Dvarim. Ki chelek Hashem amo. Part of Hashem is his people. You don't know Chassidus or Kabbalah. It's a pasuk. Ki chelek Hashem amo. We have time for another question. What's your name? Yeah, I've met you, most of all of you. I'm sorry if I don't remember your name, but yes, Esther. Yes.
And you said that we are agents.
Yes.
So I know the difference is that they don't have the Yitzhara, but how, and we do. So we're not like Malachim. So what's their mission as opposed to ours?
Their mission is, you see, there's something that Hashem knows everything about you. So how is he going to bless you when he knows that you're going to do bad in the next couple of days? So there's certain things that he needs angels to do on his behalf because he knows too much. And the angel doesn't know too much, okay? So there's something, the angels have an agency that they can do. They have a mission, but their mission isn't to beat their Yetzirah. They don't have the Yetzirah.
You mean the Malachim are like sort of our buffers?
Like, you might say so. In other words, Hashem knows your entire history. And you're asking for rachamim. But Hashem knows that tomorrow morning, Hashem will send an angel. You on my behalf, give them a refuah, okay? All right? Keep them as friends. You know, we once had a consciousness that when we would walk out of the bathroom, we would actually, you know, when we would walk into the bathroom, we would tell the angels to wait here for us. There was a consciousness that people felt that where angels accompany them, and before you go into the bathroom, you would say, wait here. There was an awareness that angels were with us all the time. You know, now we go into the bathroom and we say it on our cell phone, you're going to wait here, I'll be That's who we're talking to, you know, but not to the angels. I was saying, when you ask for Yeshua from Hashem, Yeshua comes up in our vocabulary a lot. Most people have no clue what it means. What Yeshua actually means is to feel that Hashem is close to us and wants us and saves us from being a completely insignificant nothing. And without Hashem giving us that attention, it's like a person that grows up feeling they're an unwanted child. Yeshua means Hashem gives you an understanding that I'm wanted. Hashem wants me. He needs me. He chooses to need me. Because in the particular situations I'm in, I have the ability to make courageous choices and do a Kiddush Hashem. All right, so if you're interested in more of this kind of teaching, I have a website called RabbiDavidAaron.com. And I've got books. You can, the bookstore over here, Moriah Bookstore, has books. And thank you very much.